Well, we're turning again to Genesis chapter 22 and that portion of scripture we read just a short while ago. And just with the word of God open, let us bow in a word of prayer and let us still our hearts. And you seek the face of the Lord, that even he would speak to you this morning, that there would be that word in season for your heart and for your soul as we gather here this morning. Let us pray. Eternal Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank thee once again for the great privilege we have to enter into thy presence at the throne of grace. Father, we thank thee for all that has taken place already in thy name this far. We do thank thee for the great privilege to be gathered in such a meeting as this. And O God, we thank thee for thy grace and thy mercy. And Father, we pray now that as we meet around thy precious word, Father, we pray for a very real sense of thy presence and a real sense of thy help to be here with us in the meeting. We pray, O God, that you'll remove those distractions that can so often come in and hinder us from hearing thy word and hearing thy voice speak to us. And so, Father, we pray that you'll be with us, that you'll give us those attentive hearts and those attentive minds. We pray for a word in season for everyone that is gathered in. And, O God, we pray that all that is said and done will be for thy honor and for thy glory. Empty me now of self and of sin. Fill me full of the Holy Spirit. Endue me with power from on high. And give help in the preaching and the expounding of thy precious word. For it's in our Saviour's precious name. And for his glory we pray. Amen. Amen. One of the great characters that Scripture reveals to us is that of the man that we've read off this morning. This man, Abraham. And certainly time spent studying this man would not be time spent in vain. It would not be a waste of our time, for we can learn so much from this great man of God, Abraham. And of course, like all Bible characters, apart from the Savior himself, there is no perfect man in the Word of God, and he has his failings, and he has his problems, and we can look back upon the record of his life, and we can see how he was at fault and how at times he failed the Lord. But nonetheless, we can learn a lot from this man, Abraham, for he was a man of God. He was a man of faith. He was a man used mightily by the Heavenly Father. And the chapter we've read this morning is perhaps one of the most well-known accounts of this man, Abraham. And we have record and detail here of God, or of Abraham, responding to God's request for him to sacrifice his son, his only son, Isaac. And of course, this account is one of the great Old Testament types, a great Old Testament picture of that scene that was to take place in advance of this account, that scene of Calvary. And in Isaac, we have a picture, we have a type of the Savior, which we will see in God's will a little later on. But we want to focus this morning on an aspect of this account, on a part of Abraham's life that perhaps we could easily glance over when looking at this portion of Scripture, and that's Abraham's obedience to this test that was given by God. In this chapter, Genesis 22, we read here of perhaps the greatest test that Abraham ever faced on this scene of earth. You see, Abraham faced many tests. We can go through the pages of Scripture and we can see them, but just to mention a few in passing, we think of his family test, how he had to leave his loved ones and step out in faith to go into that new land. We read that in Genesis 11 to 13. But not only did he have the family test, but we read of him in the famine test. And we read how he went down to Egypt to get supplies and help. We see his fellowship test in Genesis 13. And we read of him giving Lot the first choice in that pasture land. And then we have the fight test in Genesis 14, where we read of him defeating the kings. And what about his fortune test in that same portion of Scripture, where he rejected the wealth and the riches and the rewards of Sodom? And then, of course, we have the fatherhood test, where Abraham and Sarah, they got impatient with God. And Sarah suggested that Abraham have a child by Hagar. We read that in Genesis 16. And so this man of God, this servant, he had many a test. He faced many a trial in his life. And here's another one here in Genesis chapter 22. And believer, this morning, in that respect, we are no different to this man, Abraham. For we will face, as believers, many a trial and many a test. There will be many a difficult situation that we will find ourselves in as the children, as the people of God, as we seek to serve Him, as we seek to live for Him, as we seek to go on in this scene of time for our Savior. There will be those burdens that we will have to carry. There will be those difficulties that we will face, and those challenges that we will have to deal with. As part of the Christian walk, the Lord Jesus reminded us Himself of that in Mark 8 and the verse 34. And He says there, "Whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." And Christ is saying that the one who wants to be My true disciple, the one who wants to be a true follower of Christ, here is what you have to do. You've got to take up your cross. You're to leave behind the privileges of this scene of time, the things that the world has to offer. You're to expect the trials and the burdens. You're to take up your cross. You're to take up the difficulty, the challenge. And so immediately here we see the relevance to us of this account of Abraham. This testing and this trial that he had to endure here in Genesis 22. And child of God, this morning, maybe you're facing a difficult situation. Maybe you're carrying a heavy burden. Maybe you're facing that seemingly impossible trial and test. I encourage you to look here to Abraham, to look to his example, for here we have a great encouragement of how we're to react when those trials and when those difficulties come. And that's what we want to look at this morning. It's Abraham's obedience to this test of God. The response of Abraham, how did he respond when this trial and when this test came? And that's what we want to look at for a few moments this morning. We see in the first place the purpose of God's test. Why did Abraham have to endure what he did here in Genesis 22? Why did he have to face this trial and this burden? After all that he had been through, after his, to a large extent, his faithfulness to God, why was he in this situation that we find him in here in this portion of Scripture? Well, the first reason for this trial was, of course, for testing. Look at verse 1 of Genesis chapter 22. We see this testing here. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." And we see here that this is a trial that comes from God. The source, the author of this difficulty, this burden, this test that Abraham had to endure, it was from God Himself. We see that in verse 1, and we note immediately the reason why this trial was given. It was for the testing of Abraham's faith. We read there the word tempt, and that word, it really means to prove or to try. And God was testing. He was proving. He was trying the faith and the love and indeed the character of this servant of God, Abraham. And what a test it was. This was not something small that God had asked Abraham to do. This was not a small burden. This wasn't something that was really to be glanced over. This was a huge hurdle that was placed in front of this man, Abraham. Think of what God was asking Abraham to do. Here was Isaac, his only son, that one whom they loved so much, a response to their prayers and their faith. And here God was asking Abraham to give him up, to sacrifice him. Literally, He was asking him to place his all upon the altar. And what a trial and what a test that is. And I wonder, believer, this morning, have you faced such a trial in your life? Oh yes, the circumstances mightn't have been the same as that of Abraham's, but I believe to one extent or another we all have or will face such a trial, such a testing of our faith as this of Abraham. A trial that perhaps seems impossible to overcome. We're in the midst of it and the clouds are hovering above us and we've no answers and we seem like we're trapped. Perhaps we're just about keeping our head above the water, as the saying goes, and the burden is weighing down so heavy upon your shoulders and upon your soul this morning. Perhaps you're facing a burden. You're carrying a difficulty. And when we experience such trials, what is our first response? Well, if we're honest before the Lord, we ask, why me? Why me, Lord? Why am I going through this difficulty? Why am I having to carry such a burden? And we fail to realize that perhaps what we're experiencing is a test of our faith, a test of our obedience to our Heavenly Father. 1 James 1:3-4 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And friend, I understand this morning the burden you're carrying. It may not seem like it at this time, but God could be testing your faith. He could be testing your obedience. He could be testing your love and your devotion and your commitment to Him. That trial is working for the betterment of your character. It's working to your better end, for it is drawing you on a closer walk with the Savior. It is teaching you to love Him more and to depend on Him more. It is for you to grow in your faith and your trust of Him. Romans 8 and the verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And we are to take comfort, child of God, this morning, that no matter what we face, no matter what burden we're carrying, no matter what trial we may be enduring, look to God and trust in Him, for He will work it out for His own glory and for the benefit of His children. And this trial that Abraham was facing, it was sent of God to test his obedience. And believer, there'll be those times when we will be in such situations, and God will test us. And He will try us, and He will prove us, and we will carry heavy burdens, and we will be asked to endure things that we don't really want to endure. But we're to look to Him. Think of the words of Job, that great servant of God, and if ever a child of God knew testing and trial, it was that of Job. And yet he was able to say in chapter 23 in the verse 10, but He knoweth the way that I take. But listen to the comfort he has. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And here's the comfort of the child of God. No matter what we're facing, no matter what burden we have to carry, this is the testimony of the child of God, that when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Are you trusting in the Savior this morning, dear believer? Oh yes, you're trusting in Him for salvation, but are you trusting in Him for the burdens that you carry day by day? The difficulties you face. Not only was this trial for testing, but we see also that this trial, it was to glorify Christ. As we said earlier, Isaac here is a picture. He's a type of the Savior. And as we know, the Old Testament is full of pictures and types of the Messiah. And don't let anyone tell you that Christ is not found in the pages of the Old Testament Scriptures, for Christ is there from Genesis right through the entire book of Scripture. And here we have a type and a picture of Christ, and we acknowledge this morning that there is no perfect type of Christ. There's no perfect picture of the Savior. They are but that. They are pictures, they are types. But nonetheless, we see here in Isaac Christ. And in this account of Abraham's faith being tested, we see a picture of the cross. We're taken to Calvary, that glorious day when Christ died for the sins of His children. And we have clear pointers to His crucifixion. And so through this testing and through this trial, God is revealing to Abraham His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's bringing glory to His great name. And that is the case with us when we are facing our burdens and our trials. We ought to be bringing glory to Christ. We ought to be exalting our Heavenly Father. You see, in our trials and in our tests, not only is a purpose for our testing, not only will God bring about our good from these things, but ultimately God is working together for His own purpose and for His own glory, and so that Christ might be exalted and lifted up in our lives and in our hearts. What does the Catechism tell us? It tells us that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That means in the valley and on the mountaintop. And when we're facing difficulties, what are we to do? We're to glorify God. We're to exalt Him. We're to bring honor and glory to His name. We're to lift up His Son. We're to be a witness, we're to be a testimony of His saving grace. And I wonder, child of God, as we face our burdens, are we revealing Christ to men and women? Are we exalting the Savior? Are we bringing glory to His great and wonderful name? If ever two people revealed Christ, it was Abraham and Isaac here in Mount Moriah. And remember, Abraham didn't have the full canon of Scripture as we do today. We have the great privilege of holding in our hands the complete revelation that God has given to man. And we have it here this morning, but Abraham didn't have as such a privilege, neither did the Old Testament saints. And God was progressively, through the Old Testament, revealing His Son. He was revealing His plan of salvation. And here, through this account, through this trial and difficulty of Abraham, God is revealing Christ. And He's revealing to His servant the great plan of redemption, the great plan of salvation. And here we see that in this account. And we just want to mention a couple of ways in which this points to the Father, to the Son, and to the crucifixion. Firstly, as the Father, or as Abraham stood here on Mount Moriah, as he was told to offer his son, as he went and built that altar, Abraham saw so clearly that coming day when the Messiah would give his life for the sins of his people. We look at verse 9 in Genesis 22. It says there, "And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood." We do not read of a struggle here on behalf of Isaac the son. And I believe that's because there was no struggle. You see, as a picture and as a type of the Savior, Isaac willingly and voluntarily gave himself up as the sacrifice. And what a beautiful picture we have of Christ, how He willingly laid down His life so that we wretched sinners might receive life. In the words of Christ in John 10, in the verse 18, speaking of His own life, He says there, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. And I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." And Christ was not forced to lay down His life, but He willingly, He voluntarily gave Himself up as a sacrifice for our sin. And do you see it this morning, unbeliever, how Christ came to seek and to save the lost? He was that voluntary sacrifice for our sin. That Lamb of God that went to Mount Calvary and He bled and died so that we might be set free from our sin. And here in Isaac we have such a beautiful picture of Christ. He took that place willingly and voluntarily on the altar. And He gave us all as a sacrifice. And not only do we have a picture of Mount Calvary, but we see here that the Father and the Son, they acted together. We read that phrase, "they went both of them together," twice in verse 6 and in verse 8. And here the Father Abraham and the son Isaac, they acted together. They had a love one for the other. In this sacrifice, there was a role to play for both of them. And what a picture we have of the work of the Father and the Son. Yes, God the Son was sent by the Father. And God the Father decreed the great work of redemption, decreed that Christ would be the one that would come and to seek and to save the lost, but how the Son came and He perfectly accomplished that great work. He willingly laid down His life. And you know, in preaching we can often emphasize the love that God has for lost sinners. We can emphasize the Son's love for His people, but how often we neglect the love that God the Father and God the Son have for one another. We read that in John 14:31, "but that the world may know that I love the Father." And when we view the sacrifice of Christ in light of this love, what a great sacrifice it was. See, Abraham here, he did not withhold his only son. His son who he no doubt loved with all his heart. And likewise, the Father spare not His only begotten Son, but He gave Him up. Why? So that wretched sinners might be set free from their sin. What a love that was. What a sacrifice. That bond between the Father and the Son, and yet the Father gave Him up to be a sacrifice for our sin. Romans 8, Verse 32, we see this when he says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all." He's teaching us here that God the Father, he gave up his only son so that his people might be set free and have life, and life more abundant. So we have here a picture of the cross. We see that the Father and the Son, they are working together, but and notice also that the Son bore the burden. Look at verse 6 of Genesis 22. It says there, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son." And we could speak here of how this wood, it is a picture of the cross, and we could rightly apply that as a picture and as a type. But I believe that this wood, it also points to us as a picture of sin. Why do I think that? Well, 1 Peter 2 and the 24, verse 24, speaking of Christ, it says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." And in this account here in Genesis 22, we see the father Abraham. And he's picking up the wood here of the burnt offering. And what does he do? He lays it upon his son Isaac. And Isaac bears the burden of this wood. And what a picture we have of God the Father and God the Son. You see, that's the great work of redemption. God, he takes the sin of his chosen people and he places them upon Christ, his Son. And Christ bore the wrath and the punishment for that sin at Calvary. And as Christ hung on that old rugged cross, he was still that one who knew no sin. He was the perfect, impeccable one. And yet the Word of God tells us he became sin for us. And our sin was placed upon Christ so that he would pay the penalty and the curse for our sin. See how Christ is lifted up here. You see how God the Father is revealing to Abraham the great work of redemption. The great picture of Christ, the Savior, the one that was to come and to seek and to save the lost. And friends, when we're in our trials and our burdens, we're not to forget the Savior. And we're to point men and women to him. And no matter what we're facing, no matter what trials, no matter what burdens we're going through, we're to bring honor and bring glory to the great name of Christ. Warren Wiersbe, the Bible commentator, he says that the greatest thing that can happen as we experience the trials God sends us is that we grow closer to the Father and become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that ought to be our experience this morning, child of God. We ought to be growing more like the Savior. We ought to love him more day after day. We ought to be wanting to serve him and to be like him more as we go through our walk in life. But remember, as we suffer our trials, remember as we carry our burdens, the one who paid the ultimate price. The one who carried the ultimate burden, the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the words of Martin Luther. He said, "Our suffering is not worthy of the name of suffering. When I consider my crosses, tribulations, and temptations, I shame myself almost to death, thinking what they are in comparison of the sufferings of my blessed Savior, Christ Jesus." And may that be our testimony this morning, child of God. May we be exalting Christ in all that we do and in everything that we face. So we have here the purpose of God's test, but secondly and finally, this morning we see the practice of Abraham's obedience. See, we've established here that this test, it was from God. It was to test the faith of Abraham, but how did God's servant respond? What did Abraham do when he was faced with this difficulty? Where did he look? Where did he go? Well, we read that he was obedient. He obeyed the voice of his master, and he went, and he did according to the will of God. And what an example to the child of God this morning. No matter what we're called to face, no matter where we're called to go, no matter how we're called to do it, we're to be obedient to the will of God. Maybe God this morning is asking you to go somewhere you don't want to go. Maybe he's asking you to do something you don't want to do. Maybe he's asking you to give up something that really deep down in your heart you don't want to give up. I believe you must learn here from Abraham, we're to be obedient, we're to be faithful, and we're to listen to the word of God. What's the evidence of true faith? Well, we find the answer in Romans 1 and the verse 5, and it says, "By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name." And an outworking of our faith will be obedience. James 2:26 says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." And if a person is not obedient to the will of God, well, then we seriously question the faith of that person. Yes, we will fail the Lord. Yes, we will be disobedient. Yes, we will let him down. And yes, we will fail him. We're not saying we'll not, but the one who is truly born again of the Spirit of God will have that desire in his heart to be obedient to his will. He will be uncomfortable outside the will of God. He will not be happy outside of God's will for his or her life, but he will want to be obedient, for he will know where he ought to be. And that is what James is saying, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." And there ought to be fruits of our conversion. One of those fruits is that of obedience. Obedience always follows true faith in God. And believer, we ought to be obedient. We ought to follow in the footsteps here of Abraham and his response to this trial. We notice two things very briefly as we close in relation to this obedience. Firstly, we see its timing. Look at verse 3 of Genesis 22. It says there, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went on to the place of which God had told him." We see here the timing of Abraham's obedience. It was immediate. Immediately, as soon as it was possible, we read there of God giving him the command in verses 1 and 2, and then straight on in the narrative in verse 3, we see his obedience. And as soon as was practical, at daybreak, at first light, Abraham put all into motion that he needed to in order to go in obedience to God's will. And he didn't seek to buy time. He didn't procrastinate. He didn't try to put off to tomorrow what needed to be done today. He didn't offer excuses back to the Heavenly Father and try to bargain with him, but he immediately obeyed the will of God. I love that phrase at the end of verse 3, and it's a very challenging phrase. It's a challenge to my own heart. It says about Abraham, "And rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him." I wonder, child of God, are we in the place of which God has told us? Have we risen up to the challenge? Have we gone where God would have us to go? Are we doing what God would have us to do? Are we perhaps like Jonah this morning, running from the will and from the presence of God? I don't know your heart or your circumstances this morning, but maybe God has a work for you to do and you've been being called and challenged this morning. Perhaps as of yet you're not living in obedience to God's will. Friend, I urge you to learn from the example of Abraham here and be obedient. To go. To be found in that place of which God has told you. That's the challenge here. We're to rise up as Abraham rose up, and we're to go to that place where God would have us to be. And here Abraham was found in the center of God's will for his life. And his obedience, it was immediate. But not only did we see the timing of his obedience, but finally we see here Abraham's trust. Look at verse 8. It says there, "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together." And Abraham did not know the entirety of God's plan. Abraham did not know the full details of the outcome that would take place here on this mountain. But one thing he did know was that he could fully trust God, his heavenly Father. And Abraham will have felt the pain and the sorrow of having to give up his son. We can imagine it as he climbed up this mountain to that place of which God had told him. We can sense the pain and the sorrow that that man must have felt. And yet here he was going in obedience. Why? Because he knew that God had the outcome in his hands. And he was able to say there to his son, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb. And as we close this morning, look at verses 12 and 13 of this great portion of Scripture. And here we read, "And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God." And then look on down into verse 13, and look at that phrase, "And offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." And God provided a ram so that Isaac could go free. And how the picture of Christ comes to its epitome here in God providing the lamb, the ram. And how God sent his son, sinner, this morning so that you do not have to endure the wrath of God. You do not have to pay the penalty for your sin if you come to Christ, for Christ will have dealt with it on Calvary. And God provided the lamb so that the sinner might go free, but we must come to him. And Abraham's faith here, it was rewarded by God in that his son was spared. And God provided the sacrifice. And this is what it is to be truly obedient to God, dear child of God, this morning. Are we in the place that God would have us to be? Whatever trials, whatever burdens we're facing, I do not know what they are this morning, but I know this, that God is working it together for his glory and for your good. And you're to trust in him just as Abraham did. And you're to go immediately with that obedience. And you're to leave it in his hands this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. Well, here Christ is revealed so clearly in this portion of Scripture. We have a picture of the cross of Christ. At this time of the year, we remember how Christ came into the world to seek and to save the lost from their sin. And I wonder, friend, this morning, have you been to Jesus for that cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been to Calvary? Have you trusted in Christ? We trust and pray that for his name's sake, that would be the case this morning, and that you turn to him and have your sins forgiven. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts this morning.